When Bishop McGrattan was with us on Saturday for confirmations, he gave the most beautiful homily, and he talked about the gift of the sacraments. And at the end of this, he said, "What do all seven sacraments have in common?" And one of the children said, "Grace." But then he told us the story of another church where he had given the same homily. And when he came to the question, "What do all seven of the sacraments have in common?" none of the children who were going to be confirmed knew the answer. But there was a little boy at the back of the church who waved his hand like this and kind of said, "I know, I know." And the bishop asked him, "So what is the answer?" And this boy said, "Grace." And the bishop said, "Would you like to be confirmed?" And I won't go through the whole story, but I'll get to the punchline. This child, who was not one of the children in the confirmation class, was indeed confirmed on that day because the bishop had the sense that he was ready. Now, his older brother had his nose out of joint because he'd gone to all the classes and done all the preparation, but supposedly this little lad had been there with his brother throughout the time that he had been studying. And this is the reason I'm telling you this story. The bishop said that at St. Albert the Great that day, there were 99 children to be confirmed, and that one boy at the back made 100. Like the parable of the lost sheep, there are the 99, and then there is the one. I think it's beautiful that this year that the church invites us to think particularly of Jesus' Sacred Heart in relation to the heart of a shepherd. Back in 2010, my family and I were in Northern Ireland on a walking tour, and there are many, many sheep in Northern Ireland, as they are, I think, throughout Great Britain. And as we were in this kind of wilderness area, there were all these sheep over here, but then there was this one sheep all by itself up on a cliff. And you could hear it go, meh. And I wasn't a great shepherd because I didn't go up and try to rescue that sheep, but it has always stayed in my mind as just that beautiful image of the reality of our lives, how easily it is for us to get separated from the rest of the flock. And at the very heart of today's reading is this theme that comes through that Ezekiel text. Listen again to these beautiful words. "The shepherd will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. And I will strengthen the weak." Now, I know for myself that I sometimes have the tendency to get kind of agitated and angry at our godless world and all of those who are far from God. But you know, when I read this text and when I hear the parable, I have to confess that that is a sin on my part. But you see, the attitude of the church and the attitude of her shepherds towards those who are like that sheep up on the hill and they don't know where they are or where they're going is to be one of invitation. We are to seek the lost, to bring back the strayed, to bind up the injured, strengthen the weak. Pope Francis put it this way. He said that the church in the 21st century is a field hospital. We're in a war. And what the church is called to be is that community that welcomes in those who have been so deeply wounded. And the only way that this can happen is if her priests and those who are her faithful people are converted more and more to the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ. It was on the 25th of August in the year 1856 that blessed Pope Pius IX, who, by the way, had the longest papacy of any pope, he was pope for 31 years, that he inscribed this solemnity into the calendar of the Catholic Church. And he declared that on the Friday after the Feast of Corpus Christi, there should be this day when the Church celebrates the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Now, I said this was in the year 1856. But almost 200 years earlier, in June of 1675, the French visitation nun, Margaret Mary Alacoque, was visited by Jesus. And just a little aside, 2 years ago I was in Rome, and I went to St. Peter's to celebrate Mass. And what you can do as a priest is you just get there before 7 a.m. and the doors open, and you go into this beautiful vestry where they have all of the vestments for that day, and beautifully clean and starched albs. And you just go in there and you have such a sense of what a gift it is to be here, and you don't know which chapel you're going to go to. But a server then guides you out to a chapel. And I was so privileged on that morning that I got to say Mass in the Chapel of the Sacred Heart, where there is this beautiful painting of our Lord Jesus visiting this nun, Margaret Mary Alacoque. She was canonized on the 13th of May, just 5 days before Karol Wojtyła, who became St. John Paul II, was born. And it was at the end of his great pontificate that he, John Paul II, would declare the Feast of the Sacred Heart as a special day of prayer for priests. And it's because of this that our bishop has established this day as the day when priests will be ordained in this diocese. And so, of course, we're all looking forward to the ordination of our beloved Troy Nguyen this evening, who in a very particular way embodies what we heard from Ezekiel, the kind of pastor's heart that is always on the lookout for those who are straying, for those who are injured, for those who are weak. But I want to share with you something that our Lord said to Margaret Mary in June of 1675. He said, "Behold this heart, which has loved men and women so much that it has spared nothing, even to exhausting and consuming itself, in order to testify to them its love." So Jesus is saying, I have done everything in order to manifest my Sacred Heart, my love for humanity, my love for people. But listen what he says the experience of the response has been to that love. "In return, I receive from the greater number nothing but ingratitude by reason of their irreverence and sacrileges, and by the coldness and contempt which they show me in this sacrament of love." Coldness and contempt. Strong words. But what I feel most keenly is that it's the hearts which are consecrated to me that treat me thus. In other words, priests, religious, who treat me with contempt. Therefore, and whenever you hear the word therefore in the Bible or in spiritual writing, it's a really important word to listen to. You want to know why the therefore is therefore. And this therefore has a very important reason. "Therefore," says Jesus, "because of this contempt, because of this indifference, I ask you that on the Friday after the octave of Corpus Christi be set apart a special day to honor my heart." And remember, Jesus asked this of Margaret Mary in the 17th century. And it was almost 200 years later, in the 19th century, that Pius IX understood what he was to do. Isn't Jesus patient? That's the patience of Jesus. That's the patience of his Sacred Heart. And it's that patience that we are to cultivate in our own lives. So he wanted this day, on the octave of Corpus Christi, to be set apart as a special day to honor my heart, by communicating on that day and making reparation to it by a solemn act, in order to make amends for the indignities which it has received during the time it has been exposed on the altar. So in a particular way, that's what this Mass is for. That we are, by our presence, by our prayer, to make amends for all of the times in which our Lord has been irreverently responded to, the indignities that have been directed towards him. But there's not only this making of amends. Listen to what he goes on to say. I promise you that my heart shall expand itself to shed in abundance the influence of its divine love upon those who thus honor it. Cause it to be honored. Isn't that a beautiful promise? That he wants to expand his heart. The divine love to be shown more and more upon those who honor it and cause it to be honored. Now, my beloved brothers and sisters, you and I cannot save the whole church. And thanks be to God, we don't need to. There's so much writing today on the internet that is so critical and negative of the church, negative of the Holy Father, negative of this, negative of that. And I'm just aware that there are so many of our beloved followers, so many of our Catholic brothers and sisters who spend way too much time following the negative media. What you and I are called to do is to particularly have the influence where we are most present. And that is here at St. Peter's. And for those of you who have been members of this parish for a long time, aren't you aware of how this is actually happening? That our devotion and love to the Sacred Heart of Jesus is growing? That we have our Friday 12 hours of prayer? That more and more people are being attracted to St. Peter's? And why are people being attracted here? Why, for instance, did Deacon Troy's homily from last Sunday now have on our Facebook page more than 5,700 views? Why? Because Jesus is true to his promise. As we align our lives to his most sacred heart, and as I, as the pastor of this parish, recognize my need to be in such close dependency and relationship upon Jesus, as the clergy and the leadership of St. Peter's seek to live lives of deepening devotion and to radiate more fully the love of God, then Jesus is going to continue to be adored here. He is going to manifest his presence. What a beautiful gift I had this week. Two schools came here. St. Sylvester's school came here on Tuesday. Actually, three schools. St. Ambrose, grade 9, came for their graduation mass. And then yesterday, it was Monsignor Doyle. And it was particularly the children in our elementary schools. Boy, they sing. I wish our Sunday congregations sang with the kind of conviction that they do. I wish our Sunday congregations responded to the prayers with the kind of conviction that they do. But I must say, our Sunday congregations are growing. We're singing more. That was one of the things that struck me when I first became a Catholic, how little Catholics seem to really sing. Why? Maybe it's because they think, oh, we can't sing. It doesn't matter if you can sing or not. It's not a concert. It's about worshiping Jesus. And the more we grow in that love for him, the more we're going to sing, the more we're going to pray. And what's so beautiful about these children is in their song and in their prayer that they do still resonate that kind of innocence before becoming teenagers. It wasn't quite like that with the grade 9 mass. There's that power, because there's that passion, and there's that love. Well, I've sort of rambled this morning, but the point I'm just wanting to make is that we have a good shepherd. And as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, which is life in this world, we need churches, congregations, that are so devoted to the Sacred Heart of Jesus that we want deeper conversion so that we can become more and more that field hospital that Pope Francis says that St. Peter's is called to be. There are so many people. I go through so much Kleenex in my office. People cry. People are in sorrow because people's hearts are broken. And the only way our hearts can be healed is by his heart. But Jesus, please pray for us. Help us to grow, being a people in love with you, and that your sacred heart convert our heart. Here it seems.